When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into Commanding the Huddle. I am your host, Ryan Fowler, and today we are talking the offensive side of the football for the Washington Commanders. Brand new look on offense. If you guys have lived under a damn rock for the last few months, new offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury and brand new sparkling talent under center in Jaden Daniels, who is slated to be the starter when Washington heads down to Tampa Bay in week one in just a few months' time. But that is in a few months to come. As of now, as we sit here in the middle of June, we got training camp arriving, mini camp out there in Ashburn this week. Things are starting to ramp up, though, for the Commanders. Now, we have yet to see Jaden Daniels in pads or guys on the defensive side of the ball that we're really excited to see in the Frankie Louvus of the world or draft picks in Jordan McGee, Dom Hampton. Hopefully, Jerzon Newton is able to get healthy here in these next few months as we work closer towards the season. But the offensive side of the ball has a brand new look. Again, Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels. Now, there's also some new additions from a coaching perspective as far as Anthony Lynn coming in the building, a well-renowned offensive mind that spent time in a multitude of different spots in the NFL. Recently with the San Francisco 49ers, he's going to have a major part in the run game with Brian Robinson Jr., Austin Eckler, Chris Rodriguez for the Burgundy and Gold this year. And of course, Brian Johnson, who comes down from Philadelphia, their OC for 1 year up there with the Eagles. He brought over Marcus Mariota, basically followed him down from Philadelphia as a guy that understands what he wants to do, right, and how to operate from a veteran's perspective at the quarterback position. But today, guys, we are going through every single positional group on offense. And although we have a few more months until final cuts are made and Washington finalizes their roster, again, leading into week one against the NFC South's Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who made the playoffs last year. They made the divisional round after, of course, whooping up on the Philadelphia Eagles there at home in the wild card round. I'm going to give you a roster projection as we sit here again in the middle of June. Every single positional group. Now, there's a lot of conversation to be had as far as who is going to be QB2, QB3. Not as far as conversation. I fully expect it to be Marcus Mariota. But potentially down the line, could that be a role for Sam Hartman in Washington? I'm going to get into that. The offensive line. Who's going to be that sixth offensive lineman? Is it Cornelius Lucas that starts? Is it Brandon Coleman? We'll talk about that. At the receiver spot, who is going to be wide receiver 3, 4, 5 for this roster? Do they keep five guys and keep another tight end? Do they keep six guys because they're more confident in just keeping two primary tight ends and guys like Zach Ertz and Ben Sinnott? We will talk about everything today. So let's get into this thing, a positional group at the top, the most important for Washington this year, both reaching their floor and their ceiling, and not just this fall, but in the years to come, and that is at quarterback. And I fully expect barring any injury or anything unforeseen, knock on wood, Jaden Daniels will be the starter for Washington this year and in the years to come, backed up by Marcus Mariota and Sam Hartman. I do expect to be QB3 for this roster. And if he does start out, on the practice squad right away, I think that's a good spot for Sam to understand the offense, continue to practice throughout the week, get reps if he has to. Now, the importance of Marcus Mariota as a QB2, a veteran in this league, obviously a former Heisman winner himself, right, out of Oregon, before being drafted in the first round, he is someone that is going to be a nice shoulder to lean on for Jaden Daniels, not just early on in the campaign when things are new and defenses really don't know what to expect from Jaden, but as Washington works into the middle to later portions of this season to when teams are going to have film on Washington, what formations do they use? What personnel groupings do they like to go to in certain situations? What does Jaden Daniels like to do in certain situations, not just with his arm, but of course with his legs, which is something that defenses are going to have to counter and be aware of as long as Jaden is playing quarterback for the Commanders. So quarterbacks right now, QB1, QB2 is going to be Jaden Daniels, Marcus Mariota. That is going to be your two guys that I expect to be dressed right when they head down to Tampa Bay in week 1. And when Sam Hartman, who deserves a little bit of a spotlight, because at the end of the day, when he was brought in as a UDFA, I liked the addition. Now, his success at Wake Forest, his success at Notre Dame, getting to know him and watching him down at the Senior Bowl was a joy. He's just a mature quarterback that can dissect within the pocket, has... His touch is sensational. I did his report over at the Draft Network leading into this draft process, really diving deep and taking the 5th, 6th layers back of Sam Hartman's game as far as what he offers at the quarterback position. Extremely, extremely productive in his time. And when he came into Washington, I immediately looked at this depth chart. I looked at Jeff Driskel, and I looked at Jake Fromm, who's been in the building a while, and I said, one of those guys is going to be gone quickly. And Jake Fromm is now no longer with the Commanders. Now, Jeff Driskel is there. He's been around the NFL a while. He's bounced around from team to team. That type of presence is important for young quarterbacks to have. But from a talent perspective, as your QB3, now, if Sam was in year 3 or 4, then I absolutely expected him to be QB3. Now, by no means are you going to align in week 1 and have Jaden Daniels as QB1 and Sam Hartman as a rookie as QB2. Not only is that silly, that's also silly from a perspective from Jaden's point of view to say, do they like this kid Sam more, you know, potentially? Or is that Razy in my rearview mirror closer than he should be? All types of things go down. And we know in Washington where the backup quarterback is the most loved position as it's been in a long time. Got to get away from that. Jaden's the quarterback for the future and the present. So allow him to do his thing. But Sam Hartman being there as a young piece, as a productive collegiate quarterback, to learn behind Mariota, to learn alongside a guy like Jeff Driskel and compete his tail off, I think there's a potential future here for Sam Hartman as that backup type of quarterback as he gets older. And he's also a guy that when you look across this league and you see guys like Trace McSorley and the Tyler Huntleys and the Jameis Winstons of the world, Josh Dobbs, and I do have to throw Taylor Heinicke into that conversation or that bucket of quarterbacks, I can't sit here and say that Sam Hartman will never start in the NFL. It most likely probably will never be in Washington. But the kid, I mentioned it, he is a good quarterback. He's got a lot of talent. He's productive in the ACC and at Notre Dame with that schedule that they play every single year. And he's going to play somewhere. So having options in case of injury, again, knock on wood, is always good. So as of right now, I am going to say 2 quarterbacks for Washington, but Sam Hartman potentially down the road to develop as that QB2 as he gets older and older in the years to come, should he not go elsewhere and potentially explore other opportunities. In the running backs room, I mentioned it. I do expect Brian Robinson to start. I think he is one of the most underrated backs in football just because Washington's offensive success since he's been in the league when they drafted him with a 3rd-round selection back in 2022 out of Alabama, it just hasn't been there. But overall, when you microscope what Brian can do as a ball carrier, it's really exciting. And he's physical. He can get outside the tackles. He can create in space as a pass catcher. I think that's something that improved specifically last year, where, of course, the issues with Antonio Gibson, who's now in New England, and his concerns as far as just taking care of the football, they were there. So Brian, when Washington's offense was at its best, it's when they were running the football over these last few years, really, since, of course, Brian entered the league. Now, he's moving into year three and bringing in Austin Eckler. Now, I don't think Austin is... I want to temper expectations for you guys. Because when you hear the name Austin Eckler, you're probably thinking of what he was 4 or 5 years ago. Now, I don't think that he's that. I do think he's going to provide a little bit of a change of pace, a versatile piece, experienced. He can holster that RB1 workload if he has to. But there are limitations in Austin's game. He's not, for me, I don't think he's going to be that Chris Thompson type of ball player. I know you guys know from years past when Chris had that, looked like he was going to be a Pro Bowler, or maybe an All-Pro, that year that he got hurt years ago, over a handful of years ago. I don't think he's going to be that, but that's the role that I think Cliff Kingsbury wants for Austin, just in a tempered variety for this offense on third downs, creativity on early downs, some of that pony personnel. So, I mean, two running backs on the field. So they're going to be unique in their offensive personnel packages to potentially get both those guys in the field. But a lot of guys are going to have a workload this year. Both guys are going to have substantial roles. I do expect Chris Rodriguez absolutely make this roster. I know Jeremy McNichols is on the depth chart. They also brought in Michael Wiley from Arizona as a UDFA and Austin Jones from USC. So Cliff Kingsbury has a little bit of that familiarity there. I think he's going to be a fun player to watch in the preseason. But those guys I just mentioned, and McNichols, Michael Wiley, and Austin Jones, really do have a long shot to make this roster, even though I will say that I really enjoyed watching Michael Wiley down there at the Senior Bowl, where he flashed all week long and really was, if he wasn't the top back in attendance, maybe that's, you could say that was Marshawn Lloyd from USC, who's in Green Bay, or Ray Davis from Kentucky, who is now in Buffalo. But Michael Wiley had a hell of a week down there at the Senior Bowl back there in February. So that is the running back group. I do expect it, again, to be Austin Eckler, Brian Robinson Jr., and Chris Rodriguez to earn some touches. I really enjoyed watching Chris as a rookie last year out of Kentucky. Really, at times, he was RB2 when Antonio Gibson could not hold on to the freaking football. And he ran downhill. He ran hard. He took advantage of every single snap, and that's all he could ask. And moving into year two now, to where Chris's skill set does parallel well with what Brian Robinson offers as a big physical downhill type of ball carrier, I do think Brian has some more juice outside the tackles than Chris does. But, you know, if you want to give Brian a little bit of a break, or Austin a little bit of a break, and Chris plays for a series and maybe gets 2-3 carries, that's a potential there for Chris to get some touches and really just continue to churn down the front seven of a defense, to where we get in those, you know, late October, November, and the weather starts getting colder, and people just don't want to tackle guys over 215, 20 pounds that also run well behind their pads. So three guys, Austin Eckler, Brian Robinson Jr., and Chris Rodriguez, I expect to be the headliners for the running backs group in Washington this fall. Let's go to the tight ends group before we get out to the wide receivers, because this tight ends group is extremely, extremely intriguing. Now, Zach Ertz and Ben Sinnott, their roster spots are all but etched in stone. They are locked. They are going to be tight end one and tight end two for this roster for me. Now, if there's a conversation at all as far as where exactly Ben fits on the depth chart from a tight end two, tight end three perspective, you could say that because of what John Bates has been for this offense coming in from Boise State as a day three pick. But what Ben's going to do as far as expanding this playbook as a blocker and as a pass catcher is going to be unique to what anybody else is going to offer for this offense. Now, Zach Ertz, you know what you're going to get over the middle of the field. He's in that Jason Witten type of success now in his career, to where it's going to be 5 yards. It's going to be turn around, catch the ball, maybe make a guy miss, turn a 5 yard catch into 10. He's going to be a threat in the low red area. He's going to block his ass off. He's just that veteran type of addition. He's got that familiarity, of course, with Cliff Kingsbury when he was in Arizona. So that's going to be a nice piece and a friendly face for Jaden Daniels on those high leverage downs. But the athletic profile and the playmaking, gaining chunk plays with consistency, is really limited right now in Zach Ertz's game. Now, I will not sit here and say that Zach Ertz is just going to get maybe a target or two a game. I think there will be games to where teams are just going to put two high safeties and try to take things away vertically from Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. And Jaden Daniels is going to pump maybe 7, 8, 9 targets to Zach Ertz a football game. I think that's very possible. And that also includes Ben Sinnott in that workload. But behind them, the Cole Turners of the world, Armani Rogers, I really do like Armani. I'm interested to see how he progresses as we move into the summer, of course, coming off of that non-contact Achilles injury last year, which was really unfortunate considering the lack of pop that Washington had in their tight ends room. And Logan Thomas obviously is now with the San Francisco 49ers, so best of luck to him. But Cole Turner, guys, I mean, look, you've been around this pod for a while. You've heard me and my thoughts on Cole Turner. He's just a guy, if I'm a GM, I just would not have on my roster. Very limited impact as a blocker, and then in space, he can't separate. The athletic profile is very limited at his size. Very stiff, the lower half, he can't get off the line of scrimmage. I don't see it with Cole Turner. And now for him, already working into year three as a former fifth rounder out of Nevada, he's deep on this depth chart. I would not play him over Ertz. I'm not playing him over Ben Sinnott. I'm not playing him over a guy like John Bates. And for me, I'm not playing him over Armani Rogers. So right there, you're tight end five on this roster. And usually the fifth tight end on a roster is, you know, looking for potential opportunities elsewhere. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm just, you know, hating on Cole Turner, but trying to put the best players on the football field for this roster this year, including this new regime that has no ties to a John Bates or a Cole Turner, is going to be interesting to what they do at the position from a deployment perspective beyond Zach Ertz and Ben Sinnott. Because look, John Bates, usually teams keep that tight end three as that elite move piece. What I mean by that is that athletic potential as an offensive ceiling player. I could see that with an Armani Rogers as far as his versatility and athleticism. I mean, go back to 2022, watch the Green Bay game, watch the Indianapolis game as far as Armani's really true potential and ceiling as an offensive playmaker. And a Cliff Kingsbury's offense where they are going to be unique in their personnel and their formations and how quickly the ball gets out of Jaden Daniels' hands as far as designated touches. I don't think those designated touches are just going to be screens to McLaurin and Dotson. I think you may see Ben Sinnott on the screen. I think you may see some touches for a guy like Luke McCaffrey or Jamison Crowder on the perimeter, or some more screens for Austin Eckler. So Armani could fit in that bucket as well to just work rotationally. And I do think they're absolutely, Washington, as they have in the past, dress three tight ends on game day. But I do expect those to be Zach Ertz, Ben Sinnott, and John Bates as of right now as we sit in mid-June. So
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. And robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
Let's get out to the receivers group, but first, get a quick add in, pay some bills here, and we'll be back in just a sec. All right, this receivers group. Look, I'm not going to get cute. Nobody's going to get cute. You know the names, you know the faces, you know the production, and you know the potential of this group. Terry McLaurin will be on the roster as long as he's in Washington, as long as he wants to play, as long as he wants to suit up in the burgundy and gold. He will be a Commander. Jahan Dotson, I want to see more in year three. Crazy to think that Jahan's already in year three after the production we saw in year one. Now, the numbers were similar as far as a targets, reception, and yards perspective for Jahan in his sophomore year, if you will, last fall. But the touchdowns weren't there. I want to see more production specifically in the red area for him this year. And I think we're going to see it, guys. You watch Jaden Daniels, what he did at LSU, and his two core receivers with Malik Nabers, who we're going to see twice this year with the New York Giants, and Brian Thomas Jr., who was drafted in the first round by the Jacksonville Jaguars. What they did well was they were the headliners of that offense, and Jaden was able to consistently say, look, if Malik's not open, I'm going to Brian. If it's not Brian, it's Malik. And the ability of Terry and Jahan to separate at all three levels, so shallow, intermediate, and deep, and then you have a quarterback also to deliver those throws on time and accurately. And as I mentioned earlier, Cliff Kingsbury is going to involve McLaurin and Dotson in those designated touches, screens. I know Terry McLaurin has been working after practice as far as just after the catch, creativity as a runner, lowering that shoulder, getting extra yards. That's something that he's talked about as far as what he's been working on in the spring and summer months as he works into year six. It's crazy to think that Terry McLaurin is moving into year six. Again, you know, you guys remember, third round pick, 2019, out of Ohio State, where he was deep on their depth chart, primarily known as a rotational receiver and a core special teamer, and obviously has been one of Washington's really best draft picks since the turn of the millennium. It's just, he's been fantastic on and off the field. The quarterbacks that he's worked with, the carousel that he's enjoyed, both on the field and off the field. I cannot say enough good things about Terry McLaurin. I think if he continues on his path as a player and who he is as a young man, he's going to be somebody that ends up in the Ring of Fame someday for the Commanders and the Burgundy and Gold. I just cannot say enough good things about Terry McLaurin. And again, he is bona fide wide receiver one for this offense and one of the premier receivers that hopefully as we work into this fall, finally gets his damn respect to be one of the elites in football when people bring up that conversation. Again, Jahan is wide receiver two. Wide receiver three is where we get to have some fun, guys. This is where we really get to talk ball. We get to talk skill sets, and we get to talk about what each guy will offer for this offense and the scheme of Cliff Kingsbury. And at wide receiver three for me, if I'm Dan Quinn, it's Luke McCaffrey. Spent a third-round pick of the kid out of Rice, former transfer from Nebraska. And watching Luke down at the Senior Bowl, you know, he's much more than just the name on the back of his jersey. Obviously, there's a ton of attention being a McCaffrey, who his brother is, who his dad is, who his family is, the long lineage of athletes that they got in their family. But who he is as a football player, and I've had the privilege of getting to know Luke and his representatives in this draft process, is an extremely impressive kid that will bring his lunch pail to work every single day and do anything for you. Whether he's in a slot, the perimeter, designated touches, further extension of the run game, special teams, putting his hair on fire and getting down and making a tackle, he'll do everything for you. And he's also going to be a guy that's going to understand his role as a wide receiver three because he's not Terry McLaurin and he's not Jahan Dotson. Now, is Luke a good football player? Absolutely. He was a top 100 pick for a reason. And as a route runner, his hands, he'll go over the middle of the field and get absolutely rocked by a safety and come down and put the, you know, put his hand out first down right in the face of the safety. He's tough as nails. Again, I mentioned the route running, that separation ability for receivers from the college game to the pro game, always translates. And he's somebody that is just going to do a lot of things well. And you can't say enough good things about those types of players as a wide receiver three. Now, in years past, we've talked about the De'Ami Browns of the world as far as being that wide receiver three, or the years past and guys like Kelvin Harmon and Antonio Gandy-Golden, it simply did not work out. But I do fully expect Luke to have a substantial role this year and get some targets for himself because, again, he can separate, he's got good hands, can play above the rim, be physical in those contested situations over the middle of the field, and he's got some creativity as a runner because he also spent some time on special teams as well and at running back during his time at Nebraska. So he is that creative type of athletic weapon that is not just going to be, we're living 11 personnel, so one running back, one tight end, three receivers, which is most likely going to be the base personnel for Washington this year, as it's been with Cliff Kingsbury in the past, and just say, I'll run some routes, I'll run some clear out routes, and maybe I'll get a target or two every other week. No, I think if he's open, Jaden Daniels is going to hit the young man, and he can absolutely make some plays. So for me, top three receivers, McLaurin, Dotson, McCaffrey. Wide receiver four, as of right now, I think there are some repetitive skill sets. What I mean by that are a lot of guys that do a lot of similar things. I think you look at Jamison Crowder and Olamide Zaccheaus. I think both those guys will offer similar things. I know Jamison came back last year after, of course, being initially drafted out of college, right, out of Duke years ago from Washington. But I do think Jamison could make the roster. I think there's a place for him here as a wide receiver four and potentially the primary punt returner as well. Olamide's more that vertical threat. I mean, what he did in Atlanta, what he did in Philadelphia, he really kind of took over that role for Quez Watkins last year, where he really wanted to push the field vertically and allow A.J. Brown to live in the shallow areas and Devonta Smith over him in the intermediate areas for the Philadelphia Eagles. So he could do that again this year. If he is wide receiver four and beats out Jamison Crowder, good for him. Competition never hurts. But then we get into the De'Ami Browns, the Dax Milnes of the world, and Mitchell Tinsley, former UDFA last year out of Penn State. And if I look at this group right now, if both Zaccheaus and Crowder make the roster, I think Dax Milne is going to be the guy that makes it. But also, I want to talk about Marcus Rosemead-Jack-Saint, UDFA from Georgia, that entered this draft process as the premier blocker in the 2024 draft class, so the number one blocker. So you guys think of Kelvin Harmon when he was out of NC State as far as a blocker and sticking his face in the mud and blowing corners off the ball. When your running back gets to the fringe areas, Marcus can do that. Then he made a ton of plays in rookie minicamp for great things here in the late months of the spring and now as we head into the summer months. And I think he's somebody that Washington prioritized post-draft, right, as a UDFA, so undrafted free agent, if you guys are unfamiliar with that term, to come in and compete with the Dax Milnes and Mitchell Tinsleys that are fighting really for that last roster spot potentially in this wide receiver group. So those three guys are going to battle their ass off. And I mentioned competition at the tight end spot. We're going to get to it along the offensive line. And you know there's a lot of guys on defense really fighting for spots specifically in that safeties room, in that hybrid linebacker room. That wide receiver 4, 5, 6, if they do want to keep six, it's going to be a battle for snaps. Marcus's size, the physicality, the ball skills definitely pop off the page. There's a reason why he had production at the University of Georgia. Obviously, one of the most productive and successful collegiate programs in the last 10, 15 years of college football. He's going to compete. And there's also guys like Bryson Tremaine that was in last year as UDFA. And of course, Kaz Allen from UCLA, one of the more dynamic return men out of last year's draft class, is still on the roster as well. And he had some flashes in the preseason. Those guys are a little bit further down the depth chart, similarly with what I talked about, the running back with Michael Wiley and with Austin Jones. But Marcus Rosemead-Jack-Saint, absolutely, guys, is a name to know heading into training camp when they start cracking pads in the preseason, when he's going to get a lot of opportunities to play on the outside. If he's able to flash a couple plays here and there and continue to overpower corners like he did in the SEC, you know, at the NFL level, I think Marcus is going to carve himself out a nice little roster spot here as we move into 2024. So let's get into the big boys up front. We talk skill positions, right? We talk the sexy positions, the quarterback, receivers. Those guys always get the attention. But the big uglies up front never get enough attention. And we all know the lack of success that Washington had up front in 2023. It was abysmal. It was ugly. I felt bad for Sam Howell. I felt bad for guys in the past, even guys like Taylor Heinicke, Carson Wentz, Alex Smith. I mean, the names go on and on. Jacoby Brissett, when he stepped in last year, they didn't have any damn time to throw the football. And when you're chasing football games, as the Commanders did specifically last fall, It just makes things that much easier on defenses to pin their ears back and get after people, especially when Sam, as a young quarterback, had a lot of success, specifically in those first 3-4 weeks of the season, the Denver game, Philadelphia game, a lot of success. But it's not easy trying to succeed at the NFL level when the defense understands what you're trying to do as well. But up front, a lot of new faces, a lot of new places. Obviously, right now, Nick Allegretti at left guard coming over from the Kansas City Chiefs. Excited to see him. This interior, I think, could be one of the better interiors in all of football. It's crazy saying that because Sam Cosmi, I thought, had a hell of a year in 2023 after initially being drafted as a tackle, of course, out of Texas on the right side. It's where he obviously lived in the first few years of his career. But for Sam now moving in to year four, having Tyler Biadasz next to him as one of the premier centers in football that's seen it all along the front four, along the front five. I know some of you out there never like to see former Dallas Cowboys come in and wear the burgundy and gold, but got to get past that and see Tyler as a football player and what he's going to offer and as that leader up front to make things easier and setting protections as for allowing Jaden Daniels to keep his eyes up towards the second and third level. He's going to be so important this year. So Nick Allegretti at left guard, Biadasz at center, and Sam Cosmi at right guard. You got athleticism, you got physicality, you got a lot of experience. And that core, the nucleus, the lungs, the guts of your offensive line should be a lot better here in 2024. Now the tackle spots, guys. This is where a lot of the conversation is going to be centered around Washington, not just this summer, but heading into the fall as far as who starts in protecting Jaden Daniels' blind side. Is it Brandon Coleman, the rookie from TCU? Is it Cornelius Lucas, who's really served as that sixth offensive lineman for the Commanders these last few years? Is it Braden Daniels, drafted out of Utah last year, that wore sweatpants all season long, of course, after suffering injury early in the year? And then on the right side, it looks to be Andrew Wiley, because again, Trent Scott is still in the building and had some starters experience with Pittsburgh, but I don't expect him to get any starter snaps for Washington this year. But at the end of the day, he is potentially a snap away if he is not that sixth offensive lineman. Because look, when I look on this left side and I see Brandon Coleman or Cornelius Lucas, as it's been through minicamp and OTAs, they're shuffling. Coleman's with the ones, Coleman's with the twos, then Lucas hops in with the ones. It's going to shuffle by. They're going to shuffle around. And with Brandon's ability to play both tackle and guard, and I absolutely know that Cornelius has the athleticism and the strength, the anchor, the footwork, the hands to play guard as well. Whoever doesn't start at left tackle, I do expect to be that sixth offensive lineman. Again, the role that Lucas has played over these last few years for the Commanders. But this summer, if I'm Dan Quinn, I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I'm letting both Coleman and Lucas compete to earn the spot. Now, Brandon Coleman played all of 2023 at TCU on a high ankle sprain, from my understanding. Now being fully healthy, how does that change his movement skills, the athleticism that he's already shown? Saw him down at the Senior Bowl, and he had a hell of a week, both at tackle and at guard. Extremely, extremely impressively built young man. From the waist up, he is rock solid. He is a damn Mack truck from the waist up. And then the lower half, you can see the movement skills. He's got strong calves. He's able to move. The ankle flexibility is there. He doesn't have a goofy type of mover as you get bigger and bigger. You see some of these guys that just lumber around. He's not knock-kneed. You know, see you guys that are 6'5", 6'6", over 320, 30 pounds. They kind of have this knock-kneed figure in the bottom half to where it just limits their explosiveness. And I know for a lot of NFL scouts, if they see a guy that has heavy ankles or really fat calves or they're knock-kneed, they're really out. They just block a guy off of their list. It happens around the league, guys. So looking at Brandon Coleman, the structure of his body, the way he moves at his size, and then you throw in the technical ability, is extremely intriguing if you're Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn ultimately making a decision as to who will start in protecting the blind side of your brand new Lamborghini under center, of course, in the 2023 Heisman winner, number 2 overall pick in quarterback Jaden Daniels, the present and future face of the Washington Commanders. So behind them, let me say this. From left to right, right now, if I am Cliff Kingsbury, left to right would be Cornelius Lucas, Nick Allegretti, Tyler Biadasz, Sam Cosmi, Andrew Wiley. That's my front five. My sixth offensive lineman, living one snap away, would be Brandon Coleman. Chris Paul is going to make this roster. It's also nice snaps from him at guard. Ricky Stromberg is going to make this roster. I think he's someone that is going to, it's going to be great for him to learn within the interior from Biadasz, Cosmi, and Allegretti. I mean, look, former third round pick last year out of Arkansas, very limited snaps last year. I know when he played, it was rough for him, as it was really for all five offensive linemen, maybe away from Sam Cosmi last year, but everybody enjoyed their struggles at some point in 2023 for the Commanders offensive line. It just was abysmal, and I don't think we'll ever see as bad an offensive line as we saw last year. Now, I'm not wishing anything on anybody. Things happen. Things get better. Things get worse. Just that offensive line last year for Washington was a complete joke. But again, Chris Paul's going to make the roster. Ricky Stromberg. Michael Dieter came over from Houston. He's going to be someone that's going to provide some versatility behind Sam Cosmi at right guard. And then, as I mentioned, Trent Scott is going to be most likely on this roster again as some tackle help if you need it. Now, there are some conversations when you work further into the depth chart as far as Mason Brooks, kid that was a UDFA last year out of the SEC. Julian Good-Jones is on the roster. David Nwagwu is also there as well. Now, Brooks, Good-Jones, and Nwagwu are all lower on the depth chart. Those are guys you're going to see really for a bulk of the preseason get snaps. But, you know, this depth along this group is starters depth, really, if you ask me. I think Ricky Stromberg, what he was out of Arkansas, a really good player, had a lot of top 100 grades from teams. He's just continuing to improve his strength, the overall mass, and his technical ability within the interior. I think his feet get a little lazy at times. That's something that I saw in the SEC, but his hands are excellent, which allowed to mask those inefficiencies at times, but continuing to improve, and really going to be center two for this roster. And playing a pinch is going to be a decent opportunity for him. But again, as I've said plenty of times, Ricky Stromberg has no ties to this regime. Adam Peters did not draft Ricky out of Arkansas. So it's really just an upward slope for guys that are current backups on this roster that have no ties to this regime. When you look at the interior to where Peters brought in Allegretti, he brought in Biadasz, right? He signed Zach Ertz. He drafted Luke McCaffrey. He drafted Brandon Coleman along the front five. And those guys are all going to have impacts this year. Specifically, when you look at Brandon Coleman as a third-round pick, all the potential in the world to be a starter. And I flat out, I know right now, I just told you guys, I would expect Cornelius to start right now if the Commanders played the Buccaneers on June 12th. But we don't play right now, right? On June 12th. So continuing to progress and the potential that he has, I would not be surprised if Brandon starts week one out there at left tackle. So that is my projection, again, along the offensive line. Go through it again. Starters from left to right. I mentioned it just a second ago. Lucas, Allegretti, Biadasz, Cosmi, and Wiley. And then backups, Brandon Coleman, Chris Paul, Ricky Stromberg, Michael Dieter. That's nine offensive linemen. I think Trent Scott is going to be a guy that's really right on that bubble as that tackle versatility. And then, of course, Braden Daniels as well is in that group as well. I think he's a bubble guy also, even though I know he's got some tackle guard versatility as well. Didn't see him at all in his rookie year. He wasn't even healthy. Didn't even wear a uniform in year one. Those types of guys, just sometimes they never work out. Guys, not every guy in a draft class, you know, evolves into a high-level impact player, let alone an all-pro or a pro bowler, like we've seen, of course, with Terry McLaurin here in the years past. But that is, guys, the Commanders' offense for 2024. Now, be aware, keep your eyes out and ears out for potential additions to this roster as cuts are made, as training camp cuts. There's going to be a lot of surprising cuts around the league. Obviously, there's situations to continue to monitor in football. Obviously, the T. Higgins situation in Cincinnati, Brandon Ayuk out there in San Francisco. Is he going to be moved? Is he a guy that potentially Washington may have interest in because of obviously Adam Peters' connection? Who knows? We will see. That's something I'm not going to sit here and try to speculate on. I have no, as of right now, from information and guys I've reached out to in the league, nothing has tied Brandon Ayuk to the Washington Commanders, but that could change in an instant. It could change in a second. It changes in one phone call. It changes in one text. And we could align in week one with Washington's top three receivers being Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, and Brandon Ayuk. You never know, guys. Things happen, and things will happen. this roster and these names I just went over, there could be some changes at some certain spots again as cuts are made, as moves are continuing to be made, as we move into really the meat of the summer months before things are finalized from a roster perspective. So that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm on X if you don't follow me there already at _RyanFowler. All my work is housed at Bleacher Report and the Draft Network. Got articles coming out every single week for Bleacher Report, talking rookies, talking vets, talking positional battles to watch. Article just came out last week of the top 10 players in football, my opinion, under the age of 25 years old. Got an article coming out this week as far as each storyline to follow for each NFL team as we head into training camp. Again, that's coming out this week for Bleacher Report on the Draft Network. We are full speed ahead for summer scouting. Reports coming out every single day from me on the site. If you want to get a head start on scouting for the 2025 NFL Draft. And also an inside look for you guys as well. The mock draft machine for the Draft Network. I know a lot of you guys use that once we get towards the draft. Is going to be coming back. So I know a lot of you guys are going to be excited about that. We're pumping out reports. That's going to be filed in to the algorithm and into the new mock draft machine for the Draft Network. And it's going to look a lot like the old one from a few years ago. So I know that's an exciting thing that the guys behind the scenes have been working on here over these last few months. And that's something for you guys to look forward to as we get towards the draft. And of course, the football season to whatever Washington does, good or bad, wherever they land in the 2025 NFL draft. I know all you out there hope that they're picking 32nd. That would mean a Super Bowl win, but we will see obviously what the ceiling is for Washington 2024. But again, appreciate you guys as always. We're on all podcast platforms. I will talk to you guys soon. I'm Ryan Fowler, and this is Commanding the Huddle.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.